Legislative members, James Deleon.
Delon,
sorry. Heidi Haynes, Deputy Chair.
Oh, is that the doorbell?
Security guard should get it.
Reverend Julius Collins.
Here.
Legislator David B. Donaldson.
Here.
Legislator Mary Warrow.
Here.
Legislator Tracy Bartell.
Excuse me.
We're going to take that away from you.
I must have.
Called.
I just called them there. They must call.
All right. You have the agenda?
Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Anyone need one?
Right, you see.
All right. So do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the November 13th?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, great. Thanks. All right, so Dr. Roberts is in the hospital. No, he's home.
He's home.
Okay, successful knee replacement. Yes. And he opted to do that rather than come to this meeting.
That's how bad these meetings are.
So, I think please wish him well for all of us. And there was real, the environmental studies, you may want to just get into our conversation. I went out and met with Dr. Roberts because there was a concern expressed, at least in the caucus, that a couple of people felt that the program was being eliminated, and so we had a good conversation, and in fact, it's not. It's just under review, as every program ultimately comes under review. But what came out of that for me is the willingness of the college to get together with the environmental community, the greater environmental community, and talk about what might be opportunities for employment and help kind of guide the program, because you've got a new person coming on board, and I'll let you take it from there.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Sure.
You covered exactly the intent. That many of our programs go through this type of review, especially with our funding and our state funding. It's important that we take a look at everything, see if anything needs to be refreshed, and then continue with our assessment. So we're really appreciative that Legislator Dwan was willing to help us as part of that process. And we're looking to convene a roundtable, perhaps after January, to be able to find out about workforce needs as well as training needs in environmental studies. Are there students from our program that might be able to be interns at places and organizations in the Hudson Valley? And Dr. Roberts is looking forward to bringing the program review outcomes and recommendations in January and convening with you on the next step for the roundtable. So we're
here.
Great.
So, well, I appreciate it. Appreciate your coming. And, anyone that wants to join us, please do. I'll let you all know. But like you say, after the holidays, we'll get together and start talking about it. I've been talking to folks that I know, and one of the things that two people, Dr. Schuster from Black Rock Forest and Scott Cuppett from DEC mentioned to me, both of them mentioned to me that right now what's happening as far as water operators, that they're aging out, and there's a great opportunity there for folks, for younger folks to, think about that as a career. So I thought that was interesting. Two separate conversations, same outcome. Any questions?
Do you, does the college do the water certification?
We do offer certification through continuing and professional education. And I know, if I'm not mistaken, we're slated for a different course for the spring. We did have low enrollment for a fall professional certification, but I certainly can send you information. We do.
Because I know, I think, and you don't we'll have to update those every once in a while.
They do. So based on enrollment, we will then run it. I believe Chris Mark is looking for a fall of 2020 opportunities as well. So I'll find out.
All right. And Jamie?
Sure. So I had a presentation. I know we don't have the screen down, but SUNY is doing, I know everyone here is familiar with the Comptroller's Fiscal Stress Test. SUNY recently rolled out their model of a fiscal stress test. What they're doing is looking at everything from your fund balance to your budget projections. They're also looking at how much of your operating budget is restricted versus unrestricted. And I don't mean that in terms of the grant funding and operating funding. I mean that in terms of personnel, benefits, and kind of everything else is that unrestricted area where you can really look to for achieve savings without cutting positions. We're also looking at net operating change versus inflation. So taking your total operation changes and comparing that to inflation to see how do you rank in terms of inflation factors currently and how much is your budget going up annually. And what's unique here is they're also pulling in high school enrollment projections. So SUNY's saying, we're looking at your high school enrollment projections. Where do we see you in the next 10 years? Where do we see you in the next maybe 5 years? And that's also an indication of what they're saying is fiscal stress. 3-year change in enrollment, that is actually an indicator for them to say, are you improving your enrollment? Have you been steady or are you declining in enrollment? And then a 5-year tuition rate analysis, which they're using that as kind of the benchmark to say, are you in fiscal stress? Have you gone outside of your realm to say, I need annual tuition increases? Have you been able to manage within your context of your budget? So what they did find was that 2 schools, Clinton and Sullivan, are in immediate fiscal stress. So that means between zero to within this year, they're in a heightened fiscal stress model. So that makes SUNY is more concerned with their potential financial outputs. These schools also both have negative fund balances, which is very troubling in terms of fiscal operations and where you'd move. The 12 to 24 month range is Suffolk and Rockland. And then the large majority of schools are falling within the 24 to 36 range. I won't list them all here, but the ones in our area, it's Orange, Hudson Valley, Dutchess, and Columbia Green are all falling in that fiscal stress between 24 to 36 months. Most of that is projected on the high school enrollment trends. They're seeing a reduction in high school enrollment, and that could potentially indicate a reduction in enrollment, and these schools haven't sought after additional models to increase their enrollment through different programming that might look at the continuing ed side of the world or their areas to get more school or more students enrolled. So what is great news for SUNY Elster is that we were listed in the no short-term danger area. So locally, it's us, Schenectady, Westchester, and I'll go through the list here. So it's us, it's Corning, Erie, FIT, Genesee, Herkimer, Jamestown, Monroe, Niagara, North Country, Onondaga, Schenectady, and Westchester. We're the only one in our immediate area listed in that grouping, which is fantastic news for SUNY Elster, and again to the legislative members who have really put their support behind SUNY Elster. So this really does show that we are going through this review. The state has modeled what the controller was doing into what they're doing for SUNY. It's not a match one-to-one in terms of the controller obviously looks at different thresholds, but it's really great news for SUNY. Also, we're really proud to say that we're in the bucket
with no fiscal
stress. So at the meeting, we're all like clamoring, like, where is everybody? And then they popped up with no fiscal stress, so it was great.
That's very great.
Absolutely. And we'll obviously keep an eye, again, going forward on, you know, our enrollment trends and what we're doing differently.
Why does FIT be in there?
So FIT is technically a community college, even though they confer 4-year degrees. So your largest county chargeback financially is FIT.
Wow.
Because they're a 4-year school. So you're paying 4 years of a student's enrollment at FIT.
Have you attempted any move again to try to get them out of that?
I don't think the state's attempted that move in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd.
It is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because we get charged back from these people that go to MIT, which is why shouldn't we be charged back?
Right.
Not only that, it's a specialty school, so
right.
It's, in other words, so so everybody is getting charged
back. Everybody gets charged back for any out-of-county enrollment to FIT. I will say, SUNY Ulster, we have a really great passion program, so we do try to keep students in SUNY Ulster for our fashion program. We do a lot of really great marketing. We do a fashion show in recent history. So we have a lot of really great programming around our fashion program. But you still, even if that student then transitions to FIT.
After 2 years, it's still...
They'll still get the charge back.
We were having that a lot with Dutchess and Orange County, right?
Correct. Yeah. So you do have it with Dutchess and Orange, but the... it's the difference in the four-year model.
But
yeah, sure.
It's geographically driven, though. I mean, this one is, you know, it's, I mean, it's a four-year school. We shouldn't be getting charge backs.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you have any idea how many students that might entail?
I don't remember. We can pull it and provide that information on how many.
Interesting to know.
Sure.
I know one who just went.
Yeah, give us an update on those anyway.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Do have the form that we put in that everybody
right,
fills
out. Right, the controller's office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes in the controller, so yeah, because I'm actually the, well, it's not like Bernie Sanders. I wrote that down.
Yeah, the FIT charge back. Yeah, definitely, you know, in terms of number of students going out of county, it's a higher number to Dutchess or to Orange.
Yeah, I know.
But in terms of the fiscal impact to the county,
it's FIT.
Sure.
And
that's every county.
I guess maybe that's
right.
The model there that the state is attempting to do, to charge back everybody a little bit out of it.
Well, the community colleges started off as more of a technical kind of model. So under that model, each county had their own technical model. So you didn't want to have a student who didn't want to go to, you know, if they wanted automotive or something, they would go to Dutchess County for that. Then your county gets charged back. Now with the liberal arts mandatory framework of community colleges, it's completely changed that. So it's the chargeback market has not kept up with what's happening, and the legislation has not been amended to reflect the actual makeup of what happens with community colleges currently.
There you go. Any legislative
press? Absolutely.
We've done that before. And we actually put in the, what they was talking about is when you do go to, like, if you go to Dutchess, you make out a form why you're going here, more or less. You know, it's filed in the controller's office. Mm-hmm. So at least we know what their purposes are. I mean, there's a number of reasons, of course.
Mm-hmm. And also facility match fund. I know I keep kind of ringing that horn, but when we do facility match fund, that's certainly something that they will be looking at. Where are the students going? Where do Ulster County students go? Right. What can we do to get more of that kind of cohort back in? Is it reprogramming what we have at Kingston Center? How do we remarket and refocus some of our areas?
Great. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Good news.
Thank you.
Let's move into resolutions. Resolution 532, confirming the appointment of Mark A. Cazapoli as director of Ulster County Veterans Service Agency. Hello, Mark.
Welcome.
Thank you. You got the name right.
My mother's Italian. Thank you.
Where do you live, Mark?
We're Highland.
You live in Highland?
Yeah. I've been there for 15 years.
Oh, okay.
You're an Air Force veteran, I see.
I am. Recently retired from 26 years of service, and most of that was active duty, and the majority was active duty at Stewart Air National Guard Base, so within the communities.
So what is your background dealing with this particular agency?
Well, throughout my career, I was a logistics troop, but as you ascend up through the military ranks, you know, your main focus is taking care of the people and ensuring that everyone has all of the benefits, all of the skills and abilities and tools that they need to be successful. And as I transition, I'm just so excited to have the opportunity to potentially work with veterans. The last 4 years, my position was the senior enlisted leader at the wing, so I answered directly to the wing commander on all issues, one-star general, billet, and on everything to do with the airmen. So operationally and personnel-wise, I was the key advisor on what was going to be best for the people who had the boots on the ground at the lowest level, because I'd been there, she hadn't. And being able to do that, just being able to take care of the people, has always been a passion of mine. That's why I was successful in my military career, is because I always put the emphasis in taking care of the people. And having the opportunity to go to something as near and dear to my heart as to work for veterans is just, it's exciting and it's a blessing to have that opportunity. Working directly with the office itself, I have only been in the office in past years as a customer. But what I did as the senior enlisted leader, I had a good relationship with the Orange County Veterans Service Agency, because I did have to go to them quite a few times to find aid for our airmen or to get the resources needed. And one of the things, the counterpart there, he has invited me down to what's called a Hudson Valley Task Force meeting. They have about 70 to 80 nonprofit agencies that come in monthly and talk about things that they can do for veterans. And we hadn't been going to that. Ulster County had not been attending that meeting. And we will be now.
What's that called?
The Hudson Valley Task Force. It's actually the 11th of this week in Goshen. And because I've seen firsthand what those agencies will do for veterans and active duty people alike, and why wouldn't we want to have avenue to see if we can get more support or resources for our county.
I might say that you might want to reach out to a Terry Breitenstein.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know Terry or not. Terry used to be the director before the last director.
Okay.
And he was there for a long time. He was very well liked by the veterans.
Okay.
But I'll give you his number, and
absolutely.
Maybe you can just reach out to him, let him know that you're doing this, and it would be a good inroad.
And I believe he is a local commander of a
yes,
of
he
local
is.
Legion.
He's a, I think so he's commander of Woodstock.
Definitely one of the ones that I want to have outreach with to make sure we build good relationships with the veterans organization.
I could give you his number if you
okay.
wish. Okay.
And
who is the contact person at Hudson Valley Task Force?
Well, it's the senior, his name is Larry Newman, and he is from the MHA for Orange County, so Office of Mental Health Association. They run the Vet to Vet program. We don't have that in Ulster, so that really was something that perked my interest. I don't know too much about it, so I'm going to...
It's a great program, and quite honestly, in my other capacity, I've had veterans come into the office and ask that we implement that here mm-hmm. in our county, so that's something that I would strongly encourage you to take a look into. They're doing a lot of different things down in Orange County, and we don't need to reinvent the wheel, but we can look to other areas and make sure that we provide as many services as we can for our veterans here in Ulster County. So thank you for taking that.
Yeah, that is certainly the
that vet to vet program.
Yeah,
really
vet to vet was the first thing that perked my interest.
Yes.
I wrote that down. Why don't mm-hmm. we have it in Ulster?
I've had local veterans come in with that and ask, and you're going to figure out why we don't have it. I'll let you do that on your own.
Right,
or we can have a conversation. But nonetheless,
I'm sure it's potentially, maybe we can find that funding, though. And
that's okay.
Yeah, and we're looking at a whole new administration here, fresh start,
yes.
and a very eager.
Well, all of the counties surrounding us have it.
Yes, they do.
So, and then it's also chaired by, his name is Christian Farrell, and that would be my counterpart from Orange County. Mm-hmm. So they established this task force about 5 years ago, and we were sending representatives from Stewart to go there because it was just great to have those contacts. Everything from all types of therapies for veterans, different veteran-run organizations, and it's just something that...
Well, you're earning your money already. That's good. If Julius will vote for you, you're an Air Force veteran, aren't you?
Army.
Oh, well, see, that's it's going to be a problem.
No.
Well,
yeah,
any other questions? Call for a vote? Yes? Someone want to make the motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Hope we see a lot more of you at these meetings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you for your service, most of all. Thank you for bringing all of your ideas here to Ulster. I think it's going to be...
I would, and if you have any advice for me, anything that you hear in your capacities that I could help run down, please send it my way, because why not, right? We should be doing this, and I'm going to try to work with the other counties in the Hudson Valley, maybe do some joint types of events as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
All right, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
And if anybody needs a coffee or water, we do have a little coffee station right across the way here, if you're interested.
Thank you.
Across from the security guard.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, resolution 545, approving and executing. Pardon me? So we can do that. Sure. Do we have any resolutions for you? No. So I believe you want to go into executive session.
You're not going to do these other resolutions.
Well, we'll do your first.
We'll do the resolutions. We can do them.
Which one? Resolutions, they look like they're pretty straightforward.
What are they, straightforward ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we did the first one. Yeah, we'll get rid of those, and then we'll go into executive.
So okay. All right, then a motion on resolution 545.
Second it.
All right, Jamie? Collective bargaining.
Yes, this is a collective bargaining agreement for OPAP, which is our professional personnel union at SUNY Ulster. The increase on an annual basis is a 1% plus a living adjustment plus longevity. And this is a one-year MOU, and then we'll be going into negotiations with them right now to redo their contract. Their contract is very old, very outdated in terms of some of the structure within the contract, so the current negotiating team is very eager to really put the boots on the ground and really get to a contract that's workable. Some of the provisions within the existing contract need to be updated. We're working through that with them.
Move it.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Great.
I'm still thinking of my budget.
All right. Resolution 563, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, S&O Construction Services, and Ulster County Community College.
And which one is this?
So this is the contract for the HVAC work that we're doing. So it's the HVAC work. This is the actual contract. We've already established the capital project.
All righty. Very good. I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We'll jump to resolution 565, approving the execution of the contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Ulster County Community College, Department of Social Services.
This is this is the standard contract we have with the Department of Social Services for the provision of some state pass-through funding for some training opportunities.
All right. Okay.
We need it.
I'll move it.
Oh, sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Very good. I think that's it for...
Now, what is the UCRO?
Yes, and now... I think that's it for you, Jamie, right?
Yeah, yeah. Unless Jerry needs anything.
Great.
Nope. Uh-oh. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Resolution 564, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, family, Woodstock, and the Youth Bureau. I believe this is for a case worker for runaway teens. Family of Woodstock.
Yeah, that's the, I'm pretty sure that's the right one.
Thank you. What resolution is it?
564.
Okay. 564.
Yes.
It's not on my agenda.
Stretching exercise
on. Maybe it's a skip.
transitional living program. It's for a transitional program that provides long-term adolescent residential transitional living and non-residential case management for runaway and homeless youth. It's to operate long-term adolescent residential transitional living and provide residential management. The firm agrees to perform scope of services. If I could just take 1 minute and look at this, because I actually haven't seen this, so please forgive me.
Sure.
I don't know if they mean transitional living in a way of also, does this have anything to do with substance use?
I didn't see that.
No, I don't believe it does. It's just basically, runaway kids and things like that.
Is
that
this something that we renew every year?
Yeah, we've been doing that for years.
Okay.
With the family.
Hmm? Has this been moved?
No.
A moment.
Second.
Yes, we did that with family.
Thanks. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good. Thank you. That concludes our resolutions.
Save that. I didn't sign it.
Meals on Wheels.
May I give you a 5-minute elevator speech about
sure.
the senior hub?
Yeah, absolutely.
About that. Staff is really excited that you all were coming. Spruced it all up, cleaned the floor.
I see.
Looks
great.
Coffee. Please help your staff. I just wanted to kind of catch you up on where this came from and where we hope it's going. So before my time, I think back in the spring, Adele Ryder, when she was the acting county executive, sort of called together a senior forum. There were a lot of people present. They suggested a hub, sort of a senior gathering place. This is what happened. I don't know the mechanism by which it happened, but this used to be just here, this conference room, and they expanded it. There's a little kitchen in the back that we're adding a refrigerator and a convection oven that will be able to heat food up properly. So if we have congregate meals here, which we do twice a week, that they don't come in prepackaged single meals, that we would be able to present them as
family style.
As a family style, thank you, through Gateway. And we're waiting, we just ordered the stove today, we're looking for a fridge, and the county buildings and grounds built us a very nice cabinetry kind of thing that they have things left over, they put in a sink. It's coming together, it's really nice. Those started in September, so twice a week on Mondays and Wednesdays we have what we call community cafes. So we have some of the senior groups meeting here. One of the six groups meets here. They're quite active. We have 10 to 15 to 20 sometimes folks here on those days. I'd love to expand that. There's two classes that happen here that were began, and they're fully funded through MVP. And there's a gentle yoga and a chair exercise group that comes, and usually the same day that the congregate meals happen, and the folks just, they come in the morning and they stay for the meals. And a stretch band class that one of our staff members has sort of embraced herself and holds it. Tai Chi goes on here. It's part of our regular OFA four-year plan. We had a public hearing here in October. If you notice that we got a nice used but in really good shape cabinetry from somebody I know, Marge Gagnon, probably some of you know her, cleaning out her aunt's house and said, would you buy this for me for $50? And so we're starting our game center here, which I'd like to do in all the senior centers, is come up with just a group of brain games and things that stimulate your intellect and things that you can play with other people and lots of cards and coloring books and crafts, whatever they want to do, it would be their sort of game hub and a game time. So we've already started that here. some of the groups, like Age Well Kingston, meets here now. Statewide Senior Action meets here now. We leave our information out for everybody. We've had some series. We had a couple of authors come and talk, local authors. It was really interesting. We had a global prevention workshop. We had UCAT come in and talk about ride the bus. And on Wednesday, we're having a holiday sing-along. So we're trying to stir up interest into the hub. The bus, all the buses stop here, which is great. Usually there's enough parking. But we're hoping, you know, to get it going, maybe have more concrete meals here in the year to come. So that's my 5-minute elevator speech.
Mm-hmm.
Senior hub.
Yeah, this room has changed since I've been. I haven't been in this room in a long time.
I believe that they sort of reformulated it,
yeah,
spread it out,
painted
it.
The walls were not white. I think they're yellow or something of that nature.
Yeah.
You said the economic development, the UCDC met here.
Yeah.
Are the meetings well attended for the most part? I mean, how many seniors do you think have been gathering here? Is it known, or does it need more of a publication?
Yes, I think everything needs more publication. Everything's in the buzz every month. You know, our meal schedules are in there, where they are, when they are. We talk about it as much as we can. I think that there's a couple of senior clubs that I'm going to see, one up in Lake Katrine in February, another one in Hurley, and
yeah,
a couple of the surrounding places to talk about, you know, this is happening. You can come here if you can get here.
Yeah.
That might be an issue.
Especially
for some
in
people.
The winter months.
Yeah,
they stop meeting a lot of times, some of them.
But
what about Nellenville, for instance? What's happening there with the seniors?
Not a whole lot. Trudy Barber is spending some time there, meals there. Not a whole bunch outside of those small things.
Another place where we want to ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sit in the pocket. Getting them out to other things is easier said than done. I'm sure that there are those that will probably take the bus and come spend some time. Again, information, and then pushing that information to the point where no one can say they don't know. Over time, we're fighting more to get a youth center of some kind than we have been a senior center. We've been fighting for a youth center for years. This doesn't seem to want to be, maybe because who's going to support it once we get it.
And in Saugerties?
They have a good senior population and a great senior center. And
they have,
you're very active in your...
Very busy place.
Yeah, Saugerties is really organized. That's a great...
We just had our holiday cabaret there last week. Sold out. Waiting list. Ellenville, I visited a couple weeks ago, gave an informational talk, along with Steve Kelly, who I've known forever, and want to have a joint effort with him in the hospital and presenting informational things for seniors so we can be down there more often. Their senior center has meals 5 days a week, which is great, and I think Saugerties may too. That's a really busy senior center down there, up there, I should say, at Saugerties. But Ellenville, we had a public hearing there as well. I would love to. That's a place that needs attention. That and Southern Ulster. And we just opened a new center. We're starting activity in Pine Hill Community Center. I don't know if you've ever been out there. Surprise, surprise, you drive into this really kind of quaint, very small little town. They have this great community center. The kitchen was appropriate. They have a sort of a great room where people can sit. And then they have a much larger room where they have concerts, they have children's after-school activities, a ceramic studio with a kiln, of all things, and a wonderful thrift shop in the back. So we were very impressed with that, and we started Tai Chi out there and want to get out there, give some informational things, and get them going. We can talk about the meals in a minute because that's one of the things I'd like to, you know, explore with them out there. But again, you know, we have issues with the meals. So my focus is going to try to be Ellenville, Southern Ulster, finding a place down in Southern Ulster where it's more central, and Pine Hill, because the other centers are fairly well established.
Okay. Are you doing
contact with the hospital? Hospital is probably the most motivating.
Yes.
Community,
right.
Definitely, because they're trying to get into community health, There's a lot of things that they're trying to do, that suggestions are taken with some weight.
Yep.
And they'll go to work on trying to make it happen. Village and the town, I don't give it that much.
Mm.
Because it's just, we kind of set, but we're working on it. That's all I can say.
There was a town supervisor who came to the public hearing who approached us after and said, I'd really like to get involved, and I'm sorry I can't remember his name.
Jerry Hall?
Yes. And I would like to, if somebody comes to me and says, I want to be involved, I would not want to turn them away, and I'd like to get them calling us something. I'm not sure what that is, but whatever it needs, if I can get somebody on the town level to be involved down there, that would be great. So Steve Kelly and I are already planning a sort of an educational seniors-focused series at the Healthy Living, the senior, the housing complex they have down there. We had about 20, 22 people come when I was talking to them, and I don't know, I mean, I know more than that lives there. There's a whole bunch of people.
Again, it's information. Each one of the units has room.
Yeah.
Almost the size of this room. So each one of the units there, it can be done in either one of them or all of them.
Or all of them, yeah.
It's just a matter of gathering the people who are willing to work at it.
Well, you've got the new guy that just is taking your place. I met with him the other day. He seems very good.
Did you find it? John would be awesome. John?
Yeah, no, he seems like he's got a lot of energy.
He's somewhat progressive.
Quite intelligent guy.
He knows the village and the town better than I do.
He's
been there all
his
life.
He was very impressive. I met with him for about an hour.
He's been there all his life. And he's deep in the movement. He's always been working, trying to make things better. So I believe it's a step in the right direction. So I believe it'd be good.
I met with him about an hour, and he was very impressive. I think he'll be an asset for you.
John Gavaris,
he's the younger guy.
Yeah. Oh, I think he came to the...
He probably did. He seems like he's one of these people that are going to be everywhere.
He's on the village board right now. He'll be a lively spark.
Good.
He's taking Colin's place in the legislature.
So I'll be at home.
Expect to see him at some of your senior meetings.
Don't worry, Julius. We're going to put you. We're still putting you to work.
Yeah.
You're not getting away with that.
Y'all aren't getting rid of me that easy.
That's right.
Instead of up in Albany.
Albany, I don't need. I'm more interested in working on making town of Worsing and Ellenville.
Yeah.
Bringing them up into the 21st century. And just get to where we're thinking ahead, we can make things work a lot. But it's got to be something that's worth looking out for all the people in those communities. If we look out for all of them, the seniors won't have a problem. The kids won't have a problem. As long as we're looking out for
everybody.
A little circle of people who are in trouble.
Our most vulnerable.
Alrighty, so let's...
Meals on Wheels.
Well, we got to go into executive session, but I, so we need to turn that off.
Right. Yeah. Motion to go into executive session.
Can I make a motion to go into executive session?
All right.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.